Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for a few announcements. The first is happy anniversary. This service is the 150th anniversary of St. James as a parish, and that is a wonderful testament and landmark. And throughout the service, there'll be a few unique prayers that are added to the service to give thanks for the incredible ministry that has taken place in this place. There's a few other announcements. The first one is the anniversary gala dinners were amazing. I have been to a lot of church fundraisers. A lot of church fundraisers. And I tell you truthfully, never once have I walked away from a fundraiser / captive hostage situation that I thought we didn't charge enough. So that was an amazing, amazing night. Indeed. And if you haven't had enough of dinners at the church and services at the church, tonight we have another service, a big shindig. I'm getting installed like a light bulb as the rector of St. James. And so that's going to be a wonderful service. There are people coming from Calgary. There are people coming from the Diocese of Brandon. And there will, in fact, be someone here from Florida to be at the service. So it's going to be a wonderful event. And if you'd like to come back for more church, because we all love church, tonight at 7 o'clock would be wonderful. There is another tradition coming up next week. We have a baptism, which is wonderful and fantastic. Jake is going to be baptized in the same font that his mom was baptized in many years ago, a few years ago. Oh, speaking off the cuff, I tell you. But it's a wonderful service. However, that is also the service that St. James traditionally observed All Saints Sunday on. And All Saints Sunday was a day when we remembered in the past year those who have been laid to rest. And so a baptism, giving thanks for a new life and remembering those who have passed, it kind of didn't gel in a way that I figured I could work with. So I've done something, and we've set aside Thursday, November 2nd at 7 o'clock for an All Souls Day service, where we intentionally focus on remembering those that we've loved and see no longer. I know that it's been 6 years since my own mother passed away, and to be told I couldn't write her name on a list, even though I deeply still feel the loss of her, was a hard thing. And so having this special service where we can gather and we can remember and we can really sit with those emotions and know that God is present in all things seemed like a really wonderful thing to do. So if you have people that you love and still miss, I'd invite you to come to that service. It's going to be wonderful, and I hope that it becomes a beautiful tradition here at St. James. Now, I know that there are two other announcements. I think Steve and John would like to say a word or two.
Thank you, Michael. I'd also like to echo my thanks to everyone who helped make the gala such a success, to John Sizeland and everyone who worked in the kitchen on the meals and just on the general organization, and also to our wonderful singers who were part of the event. We had a great time putting the program together, so thanks so much to all of our vocalists for participating in that. We thought we would like to fill up your day entirely with possibilities to be inside the church here. So at 1:15 this afternoon, the Amabile choirs are going to do a special mini concert from 1:15 till 2 p.m. They've often come and sung at our church services, and we thought in celebration of the anniversary, we would have a little gift to the community. We've advertised it out and around, and you could still help spread the word if you like, but from 1:15 till 2, there'll be a special mini concert. Admission is free. We look forward to seeing many of you here, and many of your friends, and some of our neighbors as well. Thanks so much.
Wow. What a weekend, eh? It was just so great to see my parish family come together. We really did it. It was fantastic. Both nights were well attended. The music was incredible. Food actually turned out okay. Everything went okay. And I want to thank everybody who helped, because I had a lot of help. And everybody I asked to step up and help, helped. And that's what a family does. And so I was really, really proud of how well it went. And I'm so proud that all of you guys that were there last night are here this morning. That's really good. Way to go. I mean, Ken used to demand that, but I just really am. And thank you for making everything a success. We made some money, which will cover all of our anniversary costs. So it all worked out perfect. So thank you all for attending and being such a big part of it. Appreciate it.
Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open,
all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, watchful and caring, our source and our end, all that we are and all that we have are yours. Accept us now as we give thanks to you for this place, where we have come to praise your name, to ask your forgiveness, to know your healing power, to hear your word, and to be nourished by the body and blood of your Son. Be present always to guide and to judge, to illumine and to bless your people. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over water, your Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In water, your Son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us. Through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into life everlasting. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. And through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we celebrate our fellowship with him in faith. We pray that all who here pass through the waters of baptism may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, your eternal word speaks to us through the words of Holy Scripture. Here we have read of your mighty acts and purposes in history. And here we have learned about those whom you have chosen to be agents of your will. Inspired by the revelation of your Son, we seek your present purposes. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. This we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dwelling, O Lord of hosts. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Happy are the people whose strength is in you. The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you. Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And so they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Almighty God, we have heard your words to us in Holy Scripture, and knowing your call to each of us, in every age you have spoken through the voices of prophets, pastors, and teachers. We give you thanks that over the years we have heard you speak to us through the preaching of your word in this place. Grant that those who preach in this place may proclaim the sacrifice and risen Christ and interpret your word with sensitivity and insight, that we may hear the word inwardly and respond to it in all our life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're coming to the end of Matthew's gospel. In it, we've already heard about how Jesus has reached out to strange individuals and called and gathered a community to himself. We've heard how he's taken that community around the Judean wilderness and has done miracles of healing and transformation, letting the good works of God be known and letting God's power be manifested in a unique and beautiful way, in a way that's caused people to question and to find God in places that they never expected. And Jesus has set his sight on Jerusalem and entered into that holy city, and has begun to preach there, and has begun to preach things that are not making him very popular. Last week, we heard how Jesus told a parable about how people were invited to the wedding banquet, and if one wasn't wearing the right robe, they were kicked out to the outer darkness and the gnashing of teeth. That's a very biblical line. And Jesus is beginning to upset a number of people. The Pharisees of the day were the scholars, the priests and the pastors who were interpreting the word of God and laying out rules of life that we can follow. This is what the word of God means, and this is how we follow it and live faithfully according to the commandments. And here comes Jesus saying, no, it's not like that at all. The laws weren't written for people, but people for the laws. He was challenging the authority that these scholars and academics had, and was causing quite a bit of mischief. So they came up with a plan to entrap Jesus. See, in that time in Jerusalem, it was a vassal state of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire had some traditions and had some expectations of its people that were definitely not in line with Judaism at the time and would not be in line with what we proclaim as Christians. For them, the emperor was divine, was a God incarnate. And so knowing that Jesus was a good Jewish teacher, teaching in the temple, he would not be able to proclaim that the emperor was God. So they invited a whole bunch of Roman sympathizers, people who were sympathetic to the Roman cause, to be in the congregation that day too. And they asked him a double-sided question. They asked him, is it lawful to pay taxes or not? If he says, no, it's not lawful to pay your taxes to the emperor, well, then that's heresy to the Herodians in the crowd. And they've got the power and the authority to go out and get rid of that Jesus problem once and for all. They can do that with a snap of their fingers, and it doesn't matter. But if Jesus said, yes, pay your taxes to the emperor, well, then the Pharisees are able to go, well, he's not actually proclaiming God as the sole God. He's committing heresy, and he'd be called out as a fraud in front of the people. This was the best plan that they could come up with to trap Jesus in a no-win situation. And so, what does Jesus do? He calls for a coin for the taxes and asks, whose head is on here? And then there's that famous, famous line. Give unto God that which is God's, and give unto the emperor, unto Caesar, that which is Caesar. And that was amazing, because he managed to get out of that no-win situation. Now, I have to tell you, this story has been interpreted in many ways. It has been used to articulate and wrestle with and try to figure out what Jesus was doing here. Some say that Jesus was proving that he can't be trapped by human devices, that he can get out of any plan or sticky situation that we can try to put God into. And so that must mean that the cross and his death and resurrection were an absolute choice, a powerful and humbling choice. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that in the Temple Mount itself, having a coin with the emperor's figure on it that said that this was a god would actually be considered blasphemy. So the fact that Jesus was able to get one of those coins proved that there was already blasphemy in and amongst the crowd. There's a lot of ways that can be interpreted in this. And I'm not always sure which one is the correct. I'm not sure I'm able to stand up here and say, this is exactly what it meant. But what I can ask, and I think a question that all of us should work on answering, is if Jesus was standing in front of us today and talking with us, having a cup of tea, and asked us, what in your life is God's? And what in your life is Caesar's? Would we have an answer for him? Some of us might. Some of us might come up with different things. But it's a good question to ask. It's a good question to wrestle with. For you, what in your life is a gift of God? And what is a function of the world? I think each one of us would have a different answer to that question. I think each one of us would figure out something in a different way. And I think that's actually good. I think that's right. I think God reveals God's self to each one of us in a slightly different way so that we can reflect the image of God to each other and never get thinking that God believes and God wants all the exact same things that you want. You might not be worshiping God. You might be worshiping your ego. God challenges us to think and to grow and to change and to believe and to wrestle with our faith in a meaningful and powerful way. I don't think God laid it out in a straight path that requires us to switch off our brains and go through the motion. No, what God gives us is a challenge to figure out how to live our lives as most faithfully and authentically as possible. But God also, as well as giving a challenge, gives us the resources that we need to meet that challenge, to rise to it, and to be the people that God created us to be. Today we're celebrating 150 years in this amazing church. 150 years of people gathering together, not just to hear the answers, but to wrestle with the questions. This is a place where we have community and where we can look to each other to figure out what is God doing in our lives. Because what God is telling to Jerry, God might be saying something different to Julie. What God is saying to Adele, God might be saying something different to Steve. But in this place where we share community, where we break bread and drink together, where we sing together, where we have amazing dinners and fantastic fundraisers, where we are baptized and married, where we feel the pain of loss at funerals. In this place, God's presence is made known in a spectacular and powerful and beautiful way. And so when we are faced with hard challenges, when we are asked questions like, in your life, what is God's? We don't have to face answering that on our own. We have each other to think, to pray, to live alongside. And in that coming together, Christ's kingdom is known. Christ's family is made present in a beautiful way. I love churches because they are strange places. People that you would never go for coffee with are sitting beside you in your pews right now. And God is very much in their lives. As God has been very much in the lives of everyone who has been here for the past 150 years. As God will be present in the lives of those to come after us. We are a link in a chain that leads to the kingdom of God being made known in a beautiful and incredible way. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we come week after week to hear God's word, to wrestle with what it means for us today, and to figure out how a story told over 2,000 years ago still has relevance and resonates with our lives. We gather in the presence of God to do just that when we gather in the presence of each other. So let us continue to live our lives as faithfully and as deeply and as truly committed to our faith as we can in this place, so that we can be an example for the generations that follow us. Amen. Would the congregation please rise? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Please adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
Let us focus our being on you, Creator God, as we pour out our prayers. Lord of all, give your church such maturity and wisdom that we may not be swayed from our purpose and called by trivialities or worldly pressures, but know increasingly our dependence on you in all things and proclaim your gospel with steadfastness and joy. You, O Lord, are the ground of our being. Lord of all, give to all monarchs, leaders, and heads of state graciousness and integrity, that all in power and authority may undertake their duties with wisdom and humility, that the oppressed may find a voice and the nations work together for the good of the world. You, O Lord, are the ground of our being. Lord of all, give to our homes and places of work and leisure your harmony and peace. Give us grace to respect one another and ourselves in the way we talk, think, and behave. You, O Lord, are the ground of our being. Lord of all, infuse your peace into the hearts of all who are agitated, anxious, or confused. Lay your hands of healing on all who are ill, and let them know your reassurance and love. We pray especially for Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, Liz Bailey, Zara Omar, Ashley, and Dorothy Markison. You, O Lord, are the ground of our being. Lord of all, welcome into your kingdom all who have kept faith and now can lay their burdens down. May they rest in your peace forever. We think now of L.V. Bricka, Stuart McPherson, and John McCutcheon, and their loved ones. You, O Lord, are the ground of our being. Lord of all, the order and complexity of creation sings your praise, and we give voice to it now as we offer you our song of lives rededicated to the work of your kingdom. We thank you for the past 150 years in which thousands of people, members of St. James Westminster, have shown faithful witness to you. And now, under the wise leadership of our new rector, Michael, may you continue to inspire Christ-filled people. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned
against you, and all the word we by what we have done, and what we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share that peace, Christ's peace, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Hear the prayers of your faithful people. Grant that all who celebrate this Eucharist may please you by the offering of themselves and the fulfilling of your will. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. Heaven itself cannot contain you, and your glory fills all the world. You accept our setting apart of places for your worship, and in them pour out your gifts of grace upon your faithful people. This table is a sign to us of the heavenly altar, where your saints and angels praise you. Here we have recalled the sacrifice of your Son. Here we have been fed with the body and blood of your Son. Here our sins have been forgiven. Here we have tasted the joys of your eternal kingdom. Grant that in these mysteries we may be united with one another and strengthened for service in your world. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with those who have worshipped you in every age, we raise our voices in joyful praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of your world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we made acceptable in him may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread. So may your church the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Let us pray. Father, you have given us this time of joy and have nourished us in heavenly things. Grant that we may show in our lives the love of Christ, who is our God and Savior. Amen. Please stand. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to a close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.